had been left an orphan. Now, owing to the generous offer of his elderly cousin, Mr. Abney, he had come to live at Aswerby. The offer was unexpected, because all who knew anything of Mr. Abney looked upon him as a somewhat austere recluse, into whose steady-going household the advent of a small boy would import a new and, it seemed, incongruous element. The truth is that very little was known of Mr. Abney's pursuits or temper. The professor of Greek at Cambridge had been heard to say that no one knew more of the religious beliefs of the later pagans than did the owner of Aswerby. Certainly his library contained all the then available books bearing on the mysteries, the Orphic poems, the worship of Mithras, and the Neoplatonists. In the marble-paved hall stood a fine group of Mithras slaying a bull which had been imported from the Levant at great expense by the owner. He had contributed a description of it to the Gentleman's Magazine, and he had written a remarkable series of articles in the Critical Museum on the superstitions of the Romans of the Lower Empire. He was looked upon, in fine, as a man wrapped up in his books, and it was a matter of great surprise among his neighbours that he should ever have heard of his orphan cousin, Stephen Elliot, much more that he should have volunteered to make him an inmate of Aswerby Hall. Whatever may have been expected by his neighbours, it is certain that Mr. Abney, the tall, the thin, the austere, seemed inclined to give his young cousin a kindly reception. The moment the front door was opened, he darted out of his study, rubbing his hands with delight. "How are you, my boy? How are you? How old are you?" said he. "That is, you're not too much tired, I hope, by your journey, to eat your supper." "No, thank you, sir," said Master Elliot. "I am pretty well."
"That's a good lad," said Mr. Abney. "And how old are you, my boy?"
It seemed a little odd that he should have asked the question twice in the first 2 minutes of their acquaintance. "I'm 12 years old next birthday, sir," said Stephen.
"And when is your birthday, my dear boy? 11th of September, eh? That's well, that's very well.
Nearly a year hence, isn't it?
I like to get these things down in my book. Sure it's 12? Certain?"
"Yes, quite sure, sir."
"Well, well. Take him to Mrs. Bunch's room, Parks, and let him have his tea, supper, whatever it is."
"Yes, sir,"
answered the staid Mr. Parks, and conducted Stephen to the lower regions. Mrs. Bunch was the most comfortable and human person whom Stephen had as yet met at Aswerby. She made him completely at home. They were great friends in a quarter of an hour, and great friends they remained. Mrs. Bunch had been born in the neighbourhood some 55 years before the date of Stephen's arrival, and her residence at the Hall was of 20 years' standing. Consequently, if anyone knew the ins and outs of the house and the district, Mrs. Bunch knew them, and she was by no means disinclined to communicate her information. Certainly there were plenty of things about the Hall and the Hall gardens which Stephen, who was of an adventurous and inquiring turn, was anxious to have explained to him. Who built the temple at the end of the Laurel Walk? Who was the old man whose picture hung on the staircase, sitting at a table with a skull under his hand? These and many similar points were cleared up by the resources of Mrs. Bunch's powerful intellect. There were others, however, of which the explanations furnished were less satisfactory. One November evening, Stephen was sitting by the fire in the housekeeper's room, reflecting on his surroundings. "Is Mr. Abney a good man, and will he go to heaven?" he suddenly asked, with the peculiar confidence which children possess in the ability of their elders to settle these questions, the decision of which is believed to be reserved for other tribunals.
"Good bless the child," said Mrs. Bunch.
"Master's as kind a soul as ever I see.
Didn't I never tell you the little boy as he took in out of the street, as you may say, this 7 years back, and the little girl 2 years after I first come here?"
"No, do tell me all about them, Mrs. Bunch, now, this minute."
"Well," said Mrs. Bunch, "the little girl I don't seem to recollect so much about. I know Master brought her back with him from his walk one day, and gave orders to Mrs. Ellis, as was housekeeper then, as she should be took every care with, and the poor child hadn't no one belonging to her. She told me so her own self. And here she lived with us a matter of 3 weeks, it might be, and then, whether she were something of a gypsy in her blood or what not, but one morning she out of her bed afore any of us had opened her eye, and neither track nor yet